Nicaragua is One-on-One,
a show designed to improve face-to-face communication in the digital age.
Polly Laporte is living life in color, bright color. Picture orange. I first met Polly when we were both working at ABC Sacramento. She was a graphic designer, I was a political reporter. We were always running around like crazy in the newsroom. If you go back to graphic design, the lights were low. There was jazz music playing. It was very cool back in graphic design, and Polly made it that way. She was a great manager. She's also a great artist. It's in her DNA. Her grandmother was an artist, her mother is an artist, and Polly's an artist. Let's join Polly. She's teaching me about color. You get the photo? Is that how you like to work, or how do you like to work?
Well, yeah, what I prefer to do, of course, is to work from life, which, for instance, those over there, that's still life, because your eye can see so much more, as you know, than a photograph or a video. You only have so many pixels. You only have, you know, CMYK, if it's print, or with video, it's RGB. You can only have so many colors. Your eye can see so many more colors than a print or a video or even a picture on screen. A picture on screen is better than a printed out picture. When you're working from life, you can see all that stuff. And as an artist, that sounds good and you're more excited because you see all these possibilities, all these colors, all this value. But your job as an artist is to decide what to leave out. Not what to put in, but what to leave out. That's the hardest part, is how do you simplify. That's what makes, because otherwise, if you put everything in, why don't you just take a photo?
When she was giving me the color lesson, I was half listening. I'm sorry. I apologize, Polly. The reason was I was looking at one of her dog pictures, one of her pet pictures, and I was mesmerized by his soulful eyes.
What people tell me about my pet portraits is that I capture the soul of their dog. How do you do that? I'm like, I have to have good reference material, and then I'm able to do it because I'm excited about it. I love the image I can see in that eye, and I've learned how to do that eye, for instance, and make it look not exactly like photorealist, but give life to it.
He has an expression.
Isn't
and
that?
There's an expression in his eyes.
It's crazy.
He's a wise soul. So there's something there in his eye, and you have captured it in the painting.
Yes, I have no idea how I do that. All I know is that when I see a photo that I love, and I know it when I see it, I know it's gonna make a good painting, and I hold out until I see the photo that I think will make the best painting, and then it works.
One-on-One with Polly Laporte.
Let's start from the very beginning, which is my grandmother always had a drawer of art supplies for us. My mom would take us down. We'd visit my grandmother in San Francisco, who was an artist, a painter. She's actually got paintings in the Crocker. And we would always have this drawer. We'd go and get the art stuff out and draw, which I do with my granddaughters now. So that's how it started. And I remember grandma would have a place she would go where her paint studio was, usually an apartment. She was a real estate broker. So she had an apartment. And she would take us down there and we would see her painting and stuff. So I was always surrounded by art. My grandma would do sculpture, painting. So I was very much influenced by my grandmother and my mom. She did that painting up there. She was an artist too. So art was in the family. So then I ended up going to Sugarloaf Art, Music, and Drama Camp. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's for kids at El Dorado County. They can go up there, and it's a wonderful camp for art, music, and drama. I was a student there. Then I taught there. Then I ended up teaching photography and videography and animation, all that stuff. So I was always in. But when I went to college, of course, you can't major in art because what are you going to do with an art major? I was very much, how are you going to make a living? Of course, I ended up majoring in Spanish because I did so well in high school that I placed upper. So I was a Spanish major who then secretly took art classes. And people joked, what are you going to teach Spanish to artists? And I would say, yeah, ha ha, because, you know, can't make a living in art. But then...
And you have a sense of humor.
Yes.
Gets you through life.
Exactly. Yeah, need a sense of humor. So then I ended up going to UC Davis and secretly taking art classes and loving them. And by the time I finished my Spanish major, I only had a year left and I could have an art major too. So my last year was the best year ever. I took French and art classes. That's it. For a whole year. The best, that would be the best thing if you could just take the class instead of biology and all that other stuff. So that's where I really, I loved the art and the process, and I got to learn so much art history in that last year. Was like the wonder. So then reality hits, you have to go get a job. I ended up being a graphic designer, self-taught. I did take some graphic design classes at UC Davis, but it was all back then self-taught. I mean, we were doing graphic design without computers. Handset type, I worked for newspapers, doing graphic design. Finally got into the computer world where you're doing computer graphics on a black and white monitor. Oh my gosh. Then after that, I ended up getting into broadcast television. I thought, oh, I just really love graphic design. But my friend Dennis Spear at Channel 6 said, oh, you're going to love television because you can do animation. I'm like, okay. So I went, and then my new love was animation. Oh my gosh, did I love animation? That was like, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. Animation, making it move with all this wonderful color. So then I ended up going from television station to television station, ended up at News 10 doing what I love. That went away, just like all television lost their graphic designers. So
I met you when you were at Channel 10.
Yes.
And you were, do you think that was the heyday of
It was the heyday. They had the $1 million budgets. You got to go to BDA conferences and classes and, oh my gosh, yeah, it was like the pinnacle. So that era, we got in at the top and we got to see it fall to the ground and wipe out. And that's what happened. It was pretty sad because like 10 years earlier, for instance, when I quit to stay home with my fourth grader because he was having trouble in school, I went out and freelanced for more money than I was making in a year I would make in 6 months freelancing. That's how robust the freelance market was.
What were you doing? Was it Photoshop?
I was doing Photoshop. Photoshop for pharmaceutical company, for ad agencies doing pharmaceutical work, where, of course, you know, that's where all the money goes. Have you bought some drugs lately? Yeah, you know. You know, when I was laid off, I don't know, maybe it's been 8 years now, there was nothing because so many artists had no work. They would work for nothing. They were changing, going to other kinds of jobs. I even applied for other kinds of jobs. I couldn't even get an interview. People wouldn't even call me back. I'm like, well, I guess that's it. There's no work for me. I don't know, you know, I was older and all the young kids, they don't expect to be paid anything. I mean, a minimum wage with all these skills that you've built up. It was really disheartening.
And there's something to be said about that, about someone with your skills and your life knowledge and your ability to create a perfect work environment.
I know. I did feel that I have so much to offer, and I still do. I would still consider, because I love people, and I love working with people. I love managing people. I love helping people to work together and communicate. I learned that a lot with Gannett, a good way to communicate. And I still read up about communication and interpersonal skills because it is so important for life, even your relationships with your family, with your spouse, children, how you can teach them. Then I had to reinvent myself, and I thought, well, I'm going to start painting because why not? Now I can. I do also do graphic design and animation still as freelance, but I've started doing things like illustration, painting, and then I really got serious, and I thought, okay, I'm going to start this thing called daily painting. I looked it up because I was eager to reach out and see what other artists were doing because I had been out of the art field. I was in graphic design, commercial art, And I noticed that there were a lot of commercial artists going back to the painting and doing things like that. And then I thought, well, what is it? What is my passion? And my passion was portraiture and working with the form, the human form. So I found places through, of course, online Meetup now makes everything. You can find out where to go to share model expenses. So I go to Patrice Studios on Mondays, for instance, and I get to hang with other artists. These artists who were in commercial art, went to Art Center, did commercial art illustration, and now they are painters in their own right, selling paintings, teaching classes, and that's where they make their money, teaching classes, because you can't always sell art all the time, especially if you're not Wayne Thiebaud or somebody famous. You do your painting because that's your passion, and the way they make money off of it is they teach. And I've thought about teaching, which is maybe the next step for me, is to start doing online teaching, mentoring, but that's, you know, I'm still busy gathering my skills.
Tell me about freelancing, because you were great in graphic design at the news station, and you were great with your staff. I remember just being so stressed out in the newsroom, running around like crazy, getting interviews, trying to get to the Capitol and back. And then I'd go back to your office, and it was jazz music playing, soft lights, and all the artists, graphic artists, were really happy. It was like a wonderland back in your area compared to the rest of the newsroom.
Yeah, it was.
Everyone was so happy, and you guys were producing these just dynamite graphics for the news. What's the job possibilities nowadays for people coming up who want to do graphic art for a living?
Yes, absolutely. There's opportunity. There are more opportunities now than ever before to do graphic design. You know, because there's so many people coming into graphic design, the pay is not high. Back in the day when people weren't in graphic design and fine art, you could get $60 to $100 an hour. I got a freelance job, $100 an hour doing Photoshop work for an ad agency, doing pharmaceutical work in the Bay Area. You could probably still garner those wages if you're top of the mark and you're really, you have like a specific skill that you're really known for, maybe in the big cities. But in smaller towns or places, it's way less. You don't make that much money. You make maybe $25 an hour, which in the old days, $60 an hour was not very much. And that's back when things were cheaper. Now things and the cost of living is so more expensive, and you need to have equipment and stuff. So you just need to be doing more. You need to be cutting edge. You need to be doing video. It's not just graphic design. You have to be doing a range of things. You have to find out what you're good at. If you're good at doing a bunch of things, then you get good at a certain level of doing those things, like a producer, only in graphic design. You need to know maybe how to do some coding or how graphics work for online application. So I got all that at the television station because we transitioned into that. How do you work with colors on television is completely different, or on video or on the internet, as it is when you're doing a painting. So you learn those skills. There's so many ways to learn them now online. So there's so many more people doing it that it's harder to make money at it, just like anything. I'm sure you've experienced this. Well, my advice is to learn as much as you can, and do not bypass math, because I hated math. I was an artist. I was good at languages and art. But I found that you also need to know math in order to do animation, because you're dealing with algebra. You're dealing with equations. What is the speed? What is the time frame and the keyframes? You have to start knowing math. So do not skip math. Math is very important. And I lecture students who are doing animation on that all the time. You have to learn math. You have to know the basics of math. And then as you get into it, don't be afraid. You need to learn more about that in order to be better at your animation. So you need to learn about the things that are going to help your skills. And it may not just be in the art world. It could be, you know, you need to know about math. And of course, math helps for accounting if you're going to run a business. So it's not, don't focus only on the art. You have to have a wide range of things that you can do. And people skills are really important. How to promote yourself. You have to learn how to promote yourself. You can't just paint in a closet or do graphic design in a closet. You have to get out there and meet people. You have to be sociable. You have to understand communication. Reading the book, for instance, recently, How to Win Friends and Influence People, has nothing to do with art, but it has everything to do with getting ahead in your business and dealing with people and how how what the psychology is, another field to study, psychology, how to communicate with people, communication. All these things are important. You don't just work in a vacuum. You need to know, have all these skills and always being updating them. Just like you said on your, you know, how you learned Photoshop. You weren't an artist, but that's an artist's job, and you had to learn that in order to advance what you're trying to do. Yeah, the interpersonal skill is going away. There's still now something to be learned, how to communicate using a text or something like without your voice. You must learn the new form of communication, which is how to write a text in a concise way so that it has meaning that you intend. How many times have you written a text and somebody completely misunderstood it and was either upset or whatever, and you said, oh, that's not what I meant. You need to learn how to communicate clearly in less words. And that is a skill also. Mm-hmm. And that is interpersonal, is still communication. You're still reaching out, even though it's just like maybe five words. Just like in television news. You know, you see the stories coming over. There are these big, long things that are written, and they take them and they synthesize it down to groups four and five, you know, to people who maybe don't understand big words. This is our world now. You have to learn what the accepted way of communication and be better at it than your competitor. And always, you know, learn from your mistakes. If you're not making mistakes, you're not learning. If you're afraid to make mistakes, you're not going to get there. You're going to make mistakes. The more mistakes you make, the better.
So if someone tries to paint and it's not good, it doesn't live up to their own expectations, and they want to quit, what do you say to them?
Everybody wants to quit. Everybody has higher expectations. Even the master painters that I know, they'll be doing... You're looking and making this creation in 25 minutes that you can't possibly figure you would ever get that skill, and they are not happy with that. But that's what keeps you getting better, is that you're never satisfied. So you're always reaching for the next. And that's, as humans, that's how you get better, is that you don't settle. You continue getting better because you're reaching and reaching and doing and making mistakes, making lots of mistakes, you know, not being afraid or put off, or, you know, you're having a bad day, let it be a bad day. Also, burning some of your really bad work is very cathartic.
Really?
Yeah. There's artists who get together and they have the burn party where they take one that they really hate. I've burned some, threw it in the fireplace. It's awesome.
You feel it's a waste, though? I mean, you waste canvas and
you know what's
oil?
I'm
cheap.
No, that's true.
That's why I like video. Because I can reuse this digital.
That's true. And in the art world, art materials are extremely expensive. So yeah, you're right. But again, I was standing next to an artist. He was at a workshop, a master painter, and we were all working in oils. And oils are really good because you can wipe them off. He would do the exercise and go through the process. And I walked over there and it was gone. I said, what'd you do? I wiped it off. He wiped all the paint off and started the next exercise. I'm like, what? I never even thought about that. But, you know, he didn't want to look at it or whatever. And then there's other people, they want to look at their progress so that they can see and prove to themselves they're making progress. So you don't have to keep all the ugly ones. You can burn the worst ones. It's sort of like a rite of passage. Just burn it. The more precious your materials, the more you're not going to be able to bust out of whatever, you know, cage you're in and do something new or better. If you're afraid of wasting money, don't paint.
What about other artists that failed? Do you have any lessons? Because since you've studied and you know this stuff, what can you say to students out there, kids, about Picasso?
Oh, painters from the past?
Yeah.
Van Gogh is a perfect example. I love his work because the color and vibrancy ahead of his time, just like my grandmother was ahead of her time. The colors that she was using in the 40s really was not popular until now. And she was doing stuff just way ahead of her time. So Van Gogh was the same thing. And the colors he used and the thickness of the paint, just so bold. I mean, he was broker than broke. And he was putting huge amounts of paint on his canvas because his brother would support him. And he had nothing, and he was spending all kinds of money on paint and canvases. And the work that he did was, like, amazing.
Why did he kill himself?
He just finally...
Depression problem.
He shot himself. He went out and shot himself and actually walked home and died in his bedroom later. You know, he was depressed. He was, you know...
He couldn't sell anything, right?
No, no. His brother bought his paintings. And later, his brother was the one who made the money off of his paintings. But his brother was the one that paid for all of them, paid for everything. Yeah.
So don't give up.
Do not give up. Don't give up. Yeah. I mean, know that you're going to have lots of failures, just like with anything. And without failure, there is no success. Don't be Van Gogh.
Even though he was such an artist.
He was a pure artist, yes.
Yeah. And, you know, I just think that artists are special because they create beauty. And it's not everybody can do that. I mean, I feel that way about film as well.
Yeah. Well, you know,
filmmakers. Yeah. I feel that filmmakers are special.
I was told once, I won't name names, but from a human resource person where I was working as a graphic designer, when I went in to ask for a raise, and they said, well, you don't, you know, you're just a graphic designer. You have fun at what you're doing. You don't think you should be paid as much as, say, an accountant, do you? This is a human resource, or human, you know, the person who's in charge of...
Humans.
Yes. You know, I'm like, I can't believe you just said that. Like, I should be getting paid less because you think that my work is fun?
Because you made it so special. Your office was a special office. And when you're in news, it's hard. It's, when you're in the newsroom...
That's a grind.
It is. It's scary.
Yeah.
You're not tough.
And I got to tell you, though, working in the in art department, News 10, you'd get these artists out of school who were used to working on a piece of art, which this has helped me, too. Working on a piece of art for days or weeks. You get in the television department, sometimes you have 30 seconds to make a graphic. I learned a lot. Matter of fact, I learned other artists who went through the art center, commercial art, that's what they did too. You learn how to work quickly and you make more progress that way. If my motto is 1,001 hour paintings, you learn more than one 1,000 hour painting. So I work small and I work regularly. You've learned the deadlines from the news world. You know, that is something that I was given as a gift from the news world, from the television station, is how to make things, do it quickly, do it fast, and paint all the time.
Well, we're moving back more towards that now because of social media.
Uh-huh.
Social media,
yes,
makes things more. Communications is paramount.
Communications, yeah, if you can't communicate what you're trying to do, what you're trying to achieve, people are interested in why you're painting. I haven't really gotten into that, but I'm learning about how to do that now with my social media, and I haven't done it. I've only just started to communicate my purpose, and not in words, but with the time lapse. But now I realize I need to start writing more. So again, I need to start flexing my muscles in these other disciplines, such as writing and how to communicate, so that more people will be attracted to my presence on social media, and therefore get to more. Because it's, if you, as you know, the more you get people to follow you and say stuff about you, the more you get people who maybe want to buy your work or ask you questions or
want to be viral.
Yes.
Want more subs.
Yeah, sometimes viruses are good.
Yes.
Not the flu, but yes. That, yes.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Thank you, Paula.
You're welcome.